At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
On September 8th of 25, a 15-year-old girl, Celeste Rivas Hernandez, was found wrapped in plastic in the trunk of a Tesla registered to music artist David. Or if you've been watching any of this going, what's a D4VD? Is that a new platform to watch the movies on? No, it's that guy. She'd been missing since April of 2024. We don't even know if she saw her 15th birthday, but her body remains, at least, have been on the planet for 15 years. And as far as when she died, that's still up in the air. The car had been abandoned in Hollywood, towed September 6th. They only discovered the body in the trunk because it smelled. No charges as of this moment. No cause of death as of this moment. So many questions that come up when you find a body in the back of a car that belongs to a pseudo celebrity. To investigators, it's a delicate crime scene, heavy on public pressure, light on hard answers. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, joining me to discuss this. I know you've been watching it as well. When you see a case like this explode, especially on social media, you got the celebrity car, child's body, no charges. What's your first in priority as an investigator when trying to understand this case?
Well, I'll tell you, Tony, as an investigator, when something like this blows up in social media, mainstream media, there is more pressure. That's just the facts. You want to have your best lead homicide detective on this with a big support staff, because every move is going to be critically looked at after charges are filed. And I do think charges will be filed against someone in this case. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the evidence right now is pointing to the connection with David, if you will.
Yeah. And that's it's there's so many things and so many caveats to this case. And we'll get into it. The Tesla abandoned in the Hollywood Hills, reported sitting there for days, some even saying longer than that, possibly weeks, registered to David. But it is unknown who last had possession of it. So what do you think is going on in the background right now in terms of the investigation to play this back and peel the layers of this onion back? I imagine they want to figure out, number one, who was driving that car when it was parked there? Would that be question number one to start working backwards on?
Yeah, I mean, number one, first of all, I think law enforcement is well down the road in this investigation. They already have at least somewhat of a timeline. When you build a timeline, you're always going to start with your last known event and typically go backwards. The issue with this is, as you said, Tony, since April of last year, 2024, that's when she went missing. So there's this huge breadth of time that is going to be difficult to film or to, sorry, be difficult to fill in. Why? Because she didn't want to be found. She didn't want her whereabouts known. And it would seem David Burke, David, didn't want anyone to know either.
It's not David. Is it David Burke? Is David Burke his name? Yeah, you're right. It is. Isn't there another David Burke killer along? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of hitting me.
Oh, you're thinking of Berkowitz.
Yeah, Berkowitz is what I'm, David Burke. Okay, that's why I'm like, this sounds familiar. That doesn't look like David Berkowitz. Yeah, that's what's running through my mind. Let's talk about her whereabouts a little bit before we get more into the car. What do we know about this young girl? I know that we've heard the mother say that she went missing more than a year ago. There's rumors that she had said that she knew she was dating someone named David. She seems, I don't know, very, very unaware of her 14-year-old daughter's what's going on in her life as a mother, to be blunt about it. But who knows? I mean, runaways happen. There are times where it's difficult to parent a child and the kid takes off and you are none the wiser if they get mixed up with the wrong sorts of people. But what do we know? I don't want to cast too much judgment on mom or anything here right off the get-go.
Well, Tony, first of all, she disappeared at the age of only 13.
Yeah.
She had a seventh grader. When mm-hmm. I think of it in terms of schooling and just barely beyond grade school, it's just she's such a child.
Yeah.
And not only did she go missing once, it seems she was returned to the family and then went missing again. Mm-hmm. So this was somebody that I do believe was a runaway, if you will. Why mm-hmm. was she running away? I think a lot of times nobody really looks into that question closely.
Mm-hmm.
But again, not to cast aspersions against the family, but definitely a multi-time runaway.
Yeah, I don't want to cast aspersions against the family, but I always have to go, what is the reason? People don't just run away for no reason. I would say there's probably some sort of motive there. It doesn't look the greatest when you have the aunt putting up a GoFundMe right away and seemingly sucking in the celebrity of what she's saying. Thank you to my new followers. I dug in a little bit to the Discord on this, into the Reddits, and it's weird. The whole thing feels weird, from the family to what's going on here with David. I don't know what the hell's going on, and that's, I think, makes us very, very mysterious. So she runs away. 13 is when this happens. Seventh grader, that's shocking. And for all this time, we don't know where she is, but now we're starting to hear evidence, or at least rumors out there on the internet, and even some evidence. There's been some video that has been posted that purports to show her at some of the David events. What is that? What does that mean for the David crew? Let's take murder out of the equation for a moment. That if they were traveling around with this underage girl as basically kind of a groupie to a certain extent for a good chunk of time, if indeed that's what was happening.
Well, I'd like to start off with a video that I believe to be true. And mm-hmm. that is the video of the teacher that taught Celeste that has proof on his cell phone mm-hmm. That she was in the classroom. He took a video of her. And David shows up to pick her up, apparently, and was in the classroom. Mm-hmm. That seems to be likely to be actually evidence that can be used, at least in terms of a timeline, mm-hmm. When they would have had intersection together. Mm-hmm. As far as the very recent, meaning within the last day or so, footage that was put out from TMZ mm-hmm. or at this concert, they have since debunked themselves, if you will.
Yeah.
Again, they said this was possible. All of us are couching this because when I look at these videos, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, it very much resembles her. I mean,
yeah.
skin tone, the way she dressed, even the black tube top that she was described as being found in the trunk and then mm-hmm. having a black tube top on purportedly at this concert. But since then, TMZ has said, listen, their sources are saying now this was not her. So, you know, right now, social media is running amok.
Yeah.
I've recently posted another video of them at a kitchen table where they were streamed and where she kind of quietly says, listen, you better erase this. I think that's her.
Yeah.
It could be argued law enforcement will figure it out. But I think there is some legitimate footage that could be her visually linking her to him, but it's not that concert video, apparently.
And linking her to him doesn't necessarily mean murder either. And linking her to him also doesn't necessarily mean that he knew her age either. I mean, if you looked at an image of the young lady, you could guess anything. I mean, just you could guess 14, you could guess 20. It's really hard to know if you were just looking at her visually. So there's a lot of questions there of a lot to be answered of, you know, what did he know? When did he know it? What sort of involvement is there? And there's so many weird damning things in this. We also have heard about the tattoo, the matching tattoo, which is cryptic, but it seems most of David's art is rather cryptic as well. It just makes it more crypt keeper-ish when you have a body in the back of the truck.
Well, I have to say this, Tony. Whenever you have a body in the back of somebody's vehicle, mm-hmm. there is a very solid link. Now, I agree with you. That doesn't mean he was necessarily driving it. But if you own a Tesla, and Teslas are very expensive, and this isn't just, you know, your old VW that you lent out, it would make sense that he would know who was using his Tesla, whether he used his Tesla. You know, like I said, I think there's a very strong connection. But you add to it the fact that law enforcement put together a probable cause affidavit very recently, I believe it was last Wednesday, that allowed them to search the premises that he was linked to mm-hmm. through manager. I mean, Tony, this tells me law enforcement is hot on his trail or hot on the trail of somebody that was living there. Mm-hmm. And it's connected to Celeste's murder.
I would, you know, you were saying, you know, someone knew who was driving it. I'm going to guess the Tesla knows who was driving the Tesla. Mm-hmm. When you're considering it, it's a Tesla and the technology in a vehicle like that. You know, we've seen so many cases in the last couple of years where we see the technology in these vehicles, not even necessarily a Tesla. We were talking about Karen Reed's Escalade, all these different cases where the computers in the car, what it can register, what it can tell, is stunning. Tesla's even more so. I'm going to guess the digital information in that car, probably going to tell a lot, but you're also talking a mobile crime scene here too with the body in the trunk, your hands on a steering wheel, unless you're wearing gloves. I'm just guessing DNA in general is going to be all over that vehicle, and it's not really going to have a way to not get it in there unless you're driving the damn thing with a hazmat suit.
No, you're right. The Teslas, listen, they are literally computers on wheels. They report everything, who goes in, who goes out, when you open up your canister, where you go, all the navigation. They have up to 9 cameras on there. I have one. I can tell you they are unbelievable. But you can also disable a lot of these features, including the safety feature. And you could just knock it all down. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's recorded when you do shut off your safety features. Whoever was responsible for this, did they know to do that?
Yeah.
You know, if they owned it, did they even know? I mean, a Tesla, you know, the book, it's like an encyclopedia to read mm-hmm. through all their features, right? So what did they know? What did they didn't know, did not know? This is the thing, Tony. I believe that if they had this beautiful layout of who was in that vehicle, who opened the frunk, remember it was the front trunk mm-hmm. where it was found, if they had all of that, I would believe we would have charges right now, unless they were, you know, in black and were hired, or yeah. David did it and was all in black and they couldn't discern anything. So I just am not as positive that Tesla's going to give investigators what they want to find, possibly, since it's taking a bit of time.
That is a weird, I mean, I am kind of surprised that we don't have any sort of charges yet, but who will probably find out the reason for that at some point. The fact that this thing was abandoned, what the hell do you think was going on? This is not a way to hide a body. So if somebody is legitimately killed, murdered, or died of whatever reason it may be, it looks like they were trying to conceal the body and they left it parked there for long enough that it ended up getting towed, to which then they found this. Is this a misstep by whoever did this, do you think, that, oh, we'll leave it here and we're going to come get it next week or 2 weeks or nobody's going to tow this thing? Or was it put there with the intent that, well, somebody will tow it away? Then, was somebody that stupid thinking that nobody's ever going to find a body in this car if it gets towed?
Well, what this tells me as an investigator right off is you are not dealing with some mafioso hitman.
Yeah.
You're not dealing with somebody who is a career criminal who's been down the road before, been to a rodeo like this. You're dealing with somebody who likely acted in some sort of heat of passion and took these steps to quasi-conceal what they had done, which mm-hmm. meant dismember the body. And I believe it's dismembered now. To categorize how we know this, all the local media has said it's been dismembered.
God.
Looked back. Where are we getting this? Because we don't have the autopsy. That's where the source of all of this is. But why be dismembered? In fact, I found an article that specifically stated, and this was so early on, Tony, I was following this the day after the person was found before we ever knew the name Celeste. Only because I found it interesting as somebody who is very interested in missing people. Missing people are often found in abandoned cars, believe it or not. So I was thinking, wow, I bet this is one of our missing. And then it ended up being one of our missing. So I had never even heard of this David Burke character before this.
Yeah.
So no idea really of how it would sort of spin a bit. But that's the number one thing you look at is crime of passion, panicked, tried to dispose of them, likely cut them up because they would not otherwise fit in the bag in the frunk. Most people think you dismember people out of anger or hatred or, you know, wanting to make them look horrible. That's not why it's done. Typically, it's really, and it sounds terrible, to be pragmatic.
Yeah.
You know, they need to get the body hidden. That's how they did it. So just poor work by somebody who isn't a career murderer.
You don't have to be a career murderer, though, to know that you leave a body in a car registered to whoever it's registered to. They're probably going to come look at whoever the car's registered to. And that's what makes it troubling, because there seems to, this couldn't look be more easy, quote unquote, if you scripted it. Because for the love of God, the guy, this is from the music video. This picture is not AI, this picture over here. This is him. This is one of the shots from the music video where he's putting a body in a trunk. It's about murder. And it's all playing together. Like, what are the odds? You have a music video where you're putting a body in a trunk, and now there's a body in your trunk in the abandoned car that's left out on the road. It could be a huge setup. Though, too, that one could look at and go, maybe there's someone in the David camp that is jealous, really wants to frame him, make him look horrible. And gosh, wouldn't this look like a life imitating art to the nth degree when there actually is a body found in his trunk?
Yeah, and they also tattooed shh on his fingers, shh on her fingers, and made him dress in, you know, Hello Kitty garb and, you know, have a Hello Kitty key ring. And write a song with Celeste in it and then write romantic homicide, his other song. No. Occam's razor. Who does this point to? Who would have motive? You can't rule out anyone until you start ruling out. But the pointer, the first person that they need to either clear or not clear was David Burke.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.